Hello, Steve Adams here, Tiger Performance Institute, and this is the audio lesson this month in our membership program, and the title is called, If You Can't Repeat Success, There Is No Success. What I'm really going to focus in on today is the idea of a defined client experience, patient experience, customer experience, whatever you want to call it. If you haven't defined it and trained to it, then you're going to get 25 different versions of the truth when it comes to what is a successful experience for your end user, your end customer, okay? Well, today, let me just start by sharing. Today, I traveled 6 hours to see an old friend in Wisconsin, and it was the city where my entrepreneur career began 25 years ago, almost to the week. So it was kind of a trip down memory lane for me as I drove through Chicago and around through Milwaukee and up to the Fox Valley, which is Appleton, Wisconsin, is what the city I'm talking about. And I drove past my old store number 2 that's still operating today, 24 years later. That started a year after the first store. The first store has been leveled. It was part of an old mall. I had an exterior suite that faced outward into the parking lot of this old enclosed mall, which the people that owned it claimed it was the first one in America in the early 50s. So I'm not sure I'd ever verified that. But anyway, with my friend, we enjoyed a great lunch reminiscing and catching up on what each other was doing now. And in the middle of my lunch, I needed something for my meal. And I went up to the register area to request it. It was one of these fast casual places where you go up and you order in person at a register and pay for it. And I was perfectly willing to stand and wait for this item and then walk back to my table. However, the manager insisted that I return and have a seat and that they would bring it to me. And this was done in a really nice way. And this is a good example of my topic this month in that it was scripted and it was trained. You could tell that this establishment had worked very hard to train this into this manager who was very clear about the kind of experience she wanted me to have. Well, based on my experiences with most businesses, including national companies, is that few companies have really stopped to consider what they want their clients to experience each and every time they visit or interact with their business, whether it's in person, on the phone, via email, text, or online checking out. The best companies have thought this through. They've documented it and they've trained the team, or software engineers have trained, you know, the scripts in whatever software or website you're interacting with to do this. Okay. Let me give you another example. Recently, I was in the Washington, D.C. area, staying at a name brand hotel, one of the big two, and it was awful. It was utterly awful on multiple counts. Every morning when I had breakfast, they had one person working in the breakfast area, and this is one of their more upscale models. Okay. One day my eggs got cold because I was waiting for silverware, okay? So the other 3 days, I just went and got it myself because I knew this person wasn't going to do it. They weren't anticipating. And part of it was the management had not equipped this person with the tools. So that was one thing. The other thing was, you know, none of the hotels clean your room anymore. They use the pandemic as the excuse that they don't want to put somebody in there and potentially expose you. And the reality is they're saving a pile of money and they've degraded the service experience significantly. So I didn't request the service and I asked for some towels one evening and the person real bluntly just said, well, you're going to need to come down here and get it. No, we'll run the towels up for me, or even ask nicely. And then another interaction was I was at the front desk. I needed something. I don't recall what it was. And there was a line behind me of at least 8 or 9 people waiting to check in. And there was no one at the front desk for like 7 minutes. Okay, that's an eternity when you got people waiting in line. And finally, I went around behind and knocked on a door. And some guy came out all disheveled looking. Who knows what he was doing. But you can see this, the owner of this hotel is in serious trouble. This place is an utter mess. And it made me reconsider whether I'm ever going to stay at this brand or not, because I've been having more and more problems with this brand ever since private equity group that turned it around and fixed it, sold it. It's very much degraded since then. So, you know, this is just one example of something gone bad compared to that restaurant in Appleton, Wisconsin that had a scripted experience. And here's what you get when you try to implement such a plan, okay? And I'm talking about now from the employee side. You're going to get complaints. Most will say it's not necessary. They already know what to do. They're doing fine. Well, here's the thing. They often do know what to do, but they universally fail to actually do it consistently. Okay, and here's the question I want to ask you. Who owns the business? Do you own it or do the employees? If it fails, they're going to scatter like cockroaches when the lights come on. So, you know, I'm all about good leadership and making connections and seeking buy-in with your best explanation of why it matters. But if they resist, basically get fresh players on the bus until you get a team that does buy in and execute on your service experience script. And I also know that everybody's complaining about there's not enough people. Well, you're right, there isn't. But if you create a culture and an environment where great people want to work and you work hard enough at it, you can still develop a team where you've got right players on the right bus. So let's go back to the script now. Without a script, every new employee will bring their unhealthy habits from the last job with them. So do you want other crappy business owners influencing your business? Well, the answer is no, of course not. So you want to create your own system. You want to train to it, you want to verify it, and you want to demand compliance. Let me say that again. You want to create your own system, meaning your own checklist. You want to train to it, you want to verify it, and you want to demand compliance. Okay, I had the opportunity to launch a Michigan region of a regional bank in 1999 as a regional president. And the team and I developed a service experience plan that we used to differentiate ourselves from a myriad of other banks. Okay, we were all selling money and we wanted to differentiate. So we would deliver a loan decision in 2 weeks from our initial meeting, provided we had the information we needed, and we would close in 4 weeks or less. And at the time, you have to understand that was unusual. It would take 6-8 weeks to get a loan decision, another 3 to 4 to close after that. Okay. So we worked out the process internally and what the expectations were on each team member to deliver on this promise. And we were shortening the typical bank first meeting to closing by, like I said, about 4 weeks. And a month is a long time to a business owner who's trying to take the next level, take that next step. So understanding of each aspect of this process by each employee was critical. And we used that unique selling proposition to then go out and grow our lending assets on the book from zero in June of 1999 to nearly $800 million in earning assets 3 years later. And we also had not a single account 30 days past due. So it was a spectacular result due to a talented team rowing together. In the late 2000s, my pet retail chain took a big leap in growth from 4 units to 9 units overnight. Really, it was due to a couple of acquisitions. And this immediately exposed our lack of scripted service experience. We had 9 store managers delivering 9 different store experiences, and it showed in our lackluster customer service, client satisfaction scores. So we started hiring to a profile consistent with our best team members. And we developed over time, it wasn't immediate, but over time, a 16-line client experience script. And then we trained the teams to the script with each new employee. We actually role played, all right? And role-playing is important because, you know, in sports, we practice and we play a game. In business, we never practice. We just play the game. And role-playing, everybody rolls their eyes and they don't want to do it. But if you insist on it and talk about this idea, hey, we got to practice so that we can perform when the client is here, people will buy into it because they reframe it. So we role played, we hired secret shoppers to come in and evaluate our teams incognito and score them based on the script. And then we use the reports with the scores to train, not to catch them doing something wrong, but to really catch them doing something right. Okay. And over time, what we found was our client satisfaction surveys scores started to grow and improve because we were training the team to the script. And this acceleration in the growth of our scores also accelerated our same store sales growth. And in retail, when you have organic year over year growth, that drives significant profitability growth. And this acceleration in the growth financed in part our future store acquisitions and ground up store development. We learned that we could confidently predict revenue and revenue growth for years to come because we provided our clients a consistently great store experience. And then this became more important than ever when we expanded into entirely new regions. And let me give you an example. Two markets we acquired that were both in trouble from a client perception standpoint. In 2014 and 15, we purchased 7 stores in Tennessee and 5 stores in the Washington, D.C. area. And the Tennessee stores were very profitable, but very vulnerable to new competitors entering the market, as the service experience was horrible. In DC, we bought for 10 cents on the dollar, 5 failing stores with a horrible culture and service history. These two acquisitions, while vastly different, presented a similar problem: inconsistent client service. So we immediately turned over about 90% of the staff in both regions, hiring to standard the right people, meaning get the right people on the right bus. So we aggressively trained in our new service script for the market. It's not our new, but the new to them. And the results were stunning. In Tennessee, where these stores were open for 20 years, we achieved double-digit same-store sales growth. Now, here's the really cool part. This growth happened after absorbing 5 new competitor store openings in the first year that we owned those stores. So think about this. We came in, we cleaned up the stores, we fired most of the staff, we created a whole new staff, and we absorbed 5 new store openings on us, which usually knock your revenue down 10 to 30%. But we were able to do all of that and grow double digit. So that just shows you the value of a great client experience in whatever you're doing. Well, in Virginia, in Northern Virginia, DC area, we grew 30% a year for 3 consecutive years. This kind of growth is unheard of in retail with stores open more than 3 to 4 years. And today, that market, the stores are highly profitable. When we purchased them, we were losing nearly $2 million a year. Well, the central lesson in these examples that you can apply in your business is to get crystal clear on how you can effectively differentiate your business through a world-class client experience. It takes time, but it's worth the effort. When your client experience is defined, trained to, verified, and enforced, you will create a category of one in your local or national market. You'll control your destiny. You'll consistently grow revenue and profit and a nice lifestyle for you, the risk taker, the hero in the story. So if there's one area where you have control, it's in this area. You know, I used to coach basketball, and one of the things that philosophically that I would do in the programs that I was a part of, what we would do is we would always emphasize physical, tough defense and rebounding. Because, and also setting the tempo of the game, because we knew that that was something that we could control. We could not control how well we shot every night. We could not control the referees, the quality of the referees. We couldn't control the effort of the other team. What we could control is our mindset that we brought to the game and our effort. And when you look at sports, all great teams, all championship teams start with defense, start with what they control, and then they work backwards from there. That is a metaphor for what I'm talking about here. Client experience is your defense, okay? When you can give your customer a better experience than they can get from anybody else in your category, you will lead the category. You will become what Richard Cook talks about, famous author and consultant, the STAR principle, where you will be a fast-growing company and a market leader in your niche. So it is worth the effort. It is something that you can do and that you can control. It is something that your competitors won't be able to copy, even if they study you, because most companies won't make the commitment financially to this. Is this more expensive? It is, but it's also protecting your brand for the long run. So make that investment, dig in, define what that experience is. Do not accept anyone on the team who does not buy in, and then go create your destiny with this core critical tool. And that is, when you can repeat success, you have true success. Thank you. I'll talk to you next month.